Amen, amen. Good morning, church. What a blessing it is to be with you the past couple of days, and praise God for this church and just for what God is doing in you and through you. We serve an awesome God, amen. And what a beautiful church that you have, and beautiful area, beautiful people, but of course you know that, right? But most of all, we have a beautiful God, amen. And so praise God for each and every one of you. Thank you for the invitation, for the pastoral team. Just what a blessing it's been. And I just want to echo and encourage you to stick around or come back this afternoon at 3 for the conclusion of this revival renewal weekend. So let's get right in to the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for the awesome God that you are. May we leave here as new people because we have been with Jesus. In his name we pray, amen and amen. So in John 11:40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so over the past couple of days, we have been studying the book of John, and we've been looking at two specific miracles. The second miracle we're going to look at right now, but we've had the seven signs that make up the first half of John's gospel kind of serve as the backdrop, while specifically looking at two miracles. We looked last night at the first miracle that Jesus performed, that John recorded in his gospel. And this morning we're going to look at the last miracle that John records in that seven. John loves his sevens. And so each miracle, when you study the miracles and the way that John lays them out, or the Holy Spirit has John lay them out, each of those signs, each of those miracles were building towards this one, that seventh sign, that seventh, that number of completion and perfection, that the ultimate revelation that what God started with the original creation, that the enemy messed up, that hallelujah, Jesus, the true and better Adam, will finish through his new creation. That according to John 1:5, really, you can believe today that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And so that seventh sign is that miracle of resurrection with Lazarus. How appropriate during this time. And although Easter has passed, every single day of your life should be a resurrection celebration. I find it interesting that when Jesus finds out Lazarus is ill, he waits until after Lazarus dies in order to arrive. John 11:17, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. John 11:39, Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days." Twice John stresses that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Some scholars believe that this is due to a commonly held belief during this time. So there was this idea that people believed during this time that the life-giving breath of God hovered around the body for 3 days. And those 3 days, that there was still a chance. There was still a chance they could be revived. There was still a chance they could be resuscitated. Now, there's no biblical basis for this, but due to the lack of modern medicine and science, there were people that were buried alive. And so by reiterating the 4 days, many scholars believe that John is stressing that Lazarus wasn't just maybe dead. Lazarus wasn't almost dead. Lazarus was completely dead. You know, one of the things you notice about Jesus is that it seems like often he doesn't show up until it's too late. He doesn't show up until 4 days after Lazarus is dead. He didn't get to Jairus' daughter until after she had died. He doesn't step into the fiery furnace until Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are already in the furnace. It always seems as though God shows up too late. In John 11:21, Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Here we have Martha scolding God. Has anyone here ever scolded God? "Lord, why didn't you ask when I asked? Why didn't you step in when I asked you to step in? Lord, why didn't you intervene when I asked you to intervene? Why didn't you rescue my son, my daughter? Why didn't you step in to my family's life? Lord, why didn't you show up when I asked you to show up? Lord, it's too late, God. Lazarus is dead. My child is dead. My marriage is dead. My church is dead. My faith is dead. My finances are dead." But here's the thing, friends. The reason God waits until it's too late is because he wants no debate as to who saved who. In John 11:40, Jesus says to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe that you would see the glory of God?" Hallelujah, friends. Jesus always arrives exactly when he intends to. Jesus is always right on time, every time. You see, with Christ, there is no expiration date. 4 days or 4,000 years, it's all the same. Death is nothing more than taking a nap. Now, I let you get away with the first one, but that one, I should have heard at least 10 amens, 15 hallelujahs, and maybe a couple of praise the Lords. Jesus, when he gets there and Martha's saying, "Lord, why didn't you show up?" Jesus, all he says is, "Where have you laid him?" You see, I believe that Jesus is asking us the same thing today. As your hills, where have you laid your hopes? Where have you laid your dreams? Where are your dead relationships? Where are your dead, you know, vision? Where is your dead hope? Where is your dead faith? You see, I believe Jesus wants to know where and when you laid it down so he can bring it back to life. "Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. They've already kicked me out of my house. They've already let me go from my job. We've already filed for divorce. They've already diagnosed it cancer. It's too late. All of my bridges are burned. I'm at the end of my rope." But friends, as I shared the first night, when I reached the end of my rope, that was when I reached out and took hold the hand of God. You see, I found out when I hit rock bottom that Jesus is the rock at the bottom of my barrel. You see, while Martha was planning a funeral procession, Jesus was planning a resurrection. See, Martha's goal is intervention. God's goal is new creation. God's goal for you is always greater than your goal for you. And he will not settle. He will not let you settle for anything short of what he created you to be. And this is why not only does God often wait until it's too late, he often waits until it's not enough. "You're only a shepherd boy. You can't fight Goliath. David, what are you thinking? You're only a shepherd boy. We only have, you know, a few loaves and a few fish. That's not enough to feed all these people." The widow says, "I only have a cup of flour and a teaspoon of oil." But here's the thing, friends. With Christ, your onlys are always enough. Your teaspoon of faith, your mustard seed of faith is enough to save you for eternity. If you would just give your only to God, He has enough power to transform your life. Man, when Gideon had 32,000 men to fight, Judges 7:2, check it out what it says. The Lord says to Gideon, the people with you are too many to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. 10,000 men, God says, that's still too much. That's still too much. Israel will still try to take credit. It wasn't until God gets him down to 300 that God says, okay, now I'll give you my strength. You see, only if we could admit that I don't have enough power. It was only when I admitted that first step that I was powerless over my addiction and that my life had become unmanageable. See, it's only when you can admit that you're not powerful enough to overcome that obstacle, that barrier, that thing that keeps holding you back. Hebrews talks about that besetting sin. You don't have enough power. You don't have enough talent. You don't have enough intelligence. I don't have enough righteousness that God will step in and say, here, take mine. If you can admit that without Him you can do nothing, you will find out that with Him all things are possible. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. I want you to say this with me or after me. I already have everything that I need. I already have everything that I need. That's what Peter is saying. You see, God wants to give you something bigger and better than just a little help. God wants to give you something better than just a rescue or an intervention. In recovery, we have something called foxhole prayers. Maybe you've heard this saying, there are no atheists in a foxhole. That suddenly when your life is on the line, you find God real quick. And so there's this thing, foxhole prayers. These were prayers where that I would pray. I would get arrested and I would say, Lord, get me out of this jam and I'll never do it again. I would go to bed knowing that I had used too much, thinking I wouldn't make it to the wake up in the morning. And I'd say, Lord, I promise if you keep me alive, I won't do this again. They're foxhole prayers. Foxhole prayers are prayers for intervention without any intention of transformation. But hallelujah, our God is so good, he even listens to foxhole prayers. Oh, man.